welcome to Inspired Island, where every episode we sit down with someone living an inspired life here on Vashon Island in Puget Sound. From world-class artists and musicians to chefs and business owners, our little rural island has it all. I'm your host, Grace McCray, a new full-time Vashon Island resident, and thank you for joining me on this journey to discover why Vashon is such an inspired island. And welcome back to Inspired Island. Now, this moment and this episode feels a little bit surreal to me because I'm sitting in the studio with somebody who's been inspiring me for years, long before I knew about him as a person and before, certainly before I learned that he was a Vashon Island resident. We have Ted Kennedy Watson here in the flesh. Welcome,
Ted. Hello. Thank you so much. It's so lovely to be here.
We're so excited to get a chance to sit down and chat with you. Now, anybody who's lived in Seattle or spent much time in the city will probably either know of Ted or find his name quite familiar, because Ted is the owner and curator behind the iconic Watson Kennedy shops in downtown Seattle. There is Watson Kennedy Fine Living in the heart of Pike Place Market, and then there's Watson Kennedy Fine Home on First Ave in the iconic Holyoke building. Now, as I've already mentioned to Ted, I moved to Seattle right after college for a job and stayed for about a year and a half. At that time, I was quite kind of homesick and certainly unadjusted to the Seattle gloom during the winter. And I would pass Watson Kennedy Fine Home on First Ave every day on my commute. And I have such fun, vivid memories of how the window displays, and especially when they change, would spark a little joy and kind of whimsy into my everyday kind of monotonous work life. So if you don't already know about these stores, I definitely urge you to Google the shops and check them out, because they're very visually stunning. The colors, the details, everything comes along and comes together so well. So if those stores weren't enough to keep him busy, Ted oversees the extensive Watson Kennedy website and online store, and is also the author of a popular daily blog, as well as a couple of books. And I have his most recent one here with me in my hands, Ted Kennedy Watson's Guide to Stylish Entertaining. And I keep this displayed out at our home because it's just so visually beautiful. Like, it's the ideal coffee table book, so I definitely encourage folks to check that out. And it's stocked at a lot of our local Vashon stores, including the pharmacy and the bookstores. So, Ted, we've got so much to talk about.
That was a lovely intro. Thank you. That's very, very, very kind.
I'd love to dive in and start there with the shops, because I think that's probably where a lot of people's first introduction to you comes from. How do you describe your shops to folks?
Let's see. The shops, really, I've always wanted them to be an experience. Like, when you open the door and you go in, you're in a different little world. And I think really good retail kind of does that. And I mean, I love that, because both stores are downtown, and, you know, lots of people that live and work there, you know, they'll come in during their lunch break or whatever. And I love when people say, oh my gosh, you know, this is like a sanctuary. I love to come in here, and I love just to, you know, I love to listen to the music and look at the product, and they really like being in the space. And that, to me, is just this incredible compliment, because that's what I want. I want it to be this respite from like the craziness of the world. You get to come into Watson Kennedy, and you, so for me, it's way more than just selling stuff. It's really about the environment and what's created there. I love, you know, you get greeted when you come in. Our staff is really lovely. Of course, we love it when you buy something, but there's many people that come in and, you know, they shop and they're looking and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I didn't buy anything. I'll next time. And we're like, hey, that's totally, totally great. Cause they'll, you know, next time they will come in and they'll remember it. Or like you said, you know, like you remember the windows. And so I love that people really feel a connection to the spaces. And I mean, certainly, so my first shop that's in the Pike Place Market, I still to this day think physically it's one of the absolute most beautiful retail spaces I've ever been in. And I'm not saying it's because it's a Watson Kennedy, the actual physical space that you walk into that courtyard at the end of the market, and then you walk in the store and there's that huge window that looks out to the water. And it's just, again, you kind of feel like, where am I? You know, and that I love that. And then the Holyoke building, as you mentioned, the historic Holyoke building on First Avenue, that had been one of my favorite buildings in all of Seattle. So when that space became available, and actually my husband worked at the construction company, at Least Crutcher Lewis, his office was upstairs. So I knew the building really well. And when that space opened up, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, we've got to have a store there. And the neighborhood at the time was very, very different. So this was, you know, close to 25 years ago. You know, it was, there was just, it's not what it is now in terms of, you know, the really lovely hotel at the end of the block. That's new, you know, that has been built since, you know, we opened the store there. And so a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, you know, why do you want to have a store down there? And I was like, because it's just the most beautiful space. And it's really, the neighborhood has really kind of proved to be, you know, really fantastic. And yeah, all that.
That's great. Yeah. And what was the impetus behind, I'm going to start a store in downtown Seattle?
Absolutely. Well, particularly that space in the market. So I had been, I'll kind of go back, I was a tennis pro. It was in my past life. That was my, I played the circuit when I was a kid. And then I, out of college, or actually in college, I really basically taught all through college. And then there's a really lovely club called the Seattle Tennis Club here in Seattle, down in Madison Park. And so I was a tennis pro there. And so I had done that until I was like 30. And I just was like, you know, I think I mean, I'd played tennis every day in my life since I was 8 years old and until I was 30. And I was like, you know, I really want to do something different, something creative. And I was always very a creative kid. I always took, you know, art classes, and my parents were really cool about me doing whatever I wanted in my room. So I was constantly changing, you know, furniture around and moving stuff around. And always have had very creative friends. So I had a lot of friends that were that were creating things, were creating home goods, you know. So I thought, oh my gosh, you know, maybe I should think about, you know, doing something around that. What kind of got me into that was, it was called the Seattle Gift Center, and it was down in Georgetown. It's no longer, but it's down by where the design center is. But it was just a whole building, and it was called the Gift Center. It was fabulous. It was showrooms that, you know, carried just everything that you could, you know, from books to everything we carry at Watson Kennedy, all this stuff. And so I had been asked, and this is truly a pivot, to help be on the creative team for the Bill and Melinda Gates wedding. So that's what kind of got me. I was teaching tennis, and they were, I mean, it's kind of a long story, and I don't need to go into all of it. But anyway, I was asked to help with that because they wanted to have people that weren't in the business, because it needed to remain very private, very private or whatever. And so in college, I had studied calligraphy. I had gone my freshman year to St. Ambrose College in Davenport, Iowa. And there was kind of a world famous gentleman that was one of the professors that taught calligraphy. And so I took calligraphy from him. And some friends knew this. And so the person that was putting on the wedding was like, well, we'd love for you to do all the calligraphy for things. And then it started to be like, we'd like you to buy the gifts for the thing. So I started going down to the gift center to buy the gifts for the wedding. So I loved the building, and I thought, oh, that's really great. So then when I started to think about representing all these different friends and different artists and different product that, you know, I wanted to sell, I had a really fabulous sale at our home, and it was great. And then the other Ted said, well, that's really lovely, but where does all this stuff go? And like, what happens now? And I go, I don't know. I mean, I knew nothing really little about it. So for anyone who's ever thinking about like starting a business or whatever, sometimes what you don't know is probably great, because sometimes if you know everything, you probably wouldn't do it. So that's when I thought, you know, I should go down to the Seattle Gift Center and see if they have a showroom. And they literally had the smallest showroom available right on the third floor, right as the elevator opened up. And for any and all of you that, you know, had ever come to the Gift Center and knew the showroom, it was, again, it was really magical. It was just a fun, beautiful space. And I had a blast. And so I sold the stores all around the country. You know, Neiman Marcus, Nordstrom, Bergdorf Goodman. I mean, just any, you know, cool store. They bought product from people that I was representing, or small companies that I was representing. And then so I did that for a bunch of years. And then I was 34, and all along I'd said, you know, I really love to have a retail store downtown. And the 86 Pine store had been occupied for like 30 some years. It was really lovely. It was an antique store, and actually half the furniture from our home in the city is actually probably from Anderson Arnold. And so I'd go there all the time, and I was like, oh, they'll never close. They'll never not be there. And so I'm having dinner with a friend my friend Susan in the market. And so I was telling her that story, and she goes, well, let's walk by. You have to show me what space this is. And we walked in the courtyard, and it was empty. And I was like, and this was, so I was 34 years old, and I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that. So 23 days later, I opened my store there. So it was one of those just kind of meant to be things. And I still, even so we're going on our 26th year there, I still put the key in the door every day and or whenever I'm there. And I still am tickled by it. I'm just still like, oh my gosh, you know, this is my store here. So
I love that.
Yeah, that's how I got started.
So owning a small business in a major city, I'm guessing there's some challenges, over the years.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about like what you've learned through this?
Anyone that opens a retail store, store of you know any type, certainly a restaurant, you have to know that it is cyclical. And you know, so I opened the Market Shop in 1998. So the dot-com boom was just, you know, major, you know, we had people, young, you know, we had 22-year-olds walking in the store, you know, spending a couple $1,000s on towels and bedding and all that stuff. And it was, I was like, wow, this is great having a retail store. I love this. And then, you know, then the bust happened, you know, a couple of years later. And then 9/11 happened, and then the financial crisis happened and, you know, what was that, 09? So, you know, it's very cyclical. So there's, you know, great, you have really great years in a business, and then you have other years that maybe aren't so great. And it's all part of the, it's all just part of the process. And you have to factor that in. I had a chat with a retailer recently who opened, maybe let's say 10 years ago. So, you know, again, downtown was, you know, definitely booming. And then, you know, COVID happened. And she was like, wow, I just didn't really know what that was like to not have business be phenomenal. And you have to factor that in. So those really great years, you know, you need to be putting some money away because there's going to be some years that aren't as great. And we definitely saw that, you know, when COVID happened, you know, a lot of businesses within, you know, like a month or two closed, and, you know, they really had no backup. And so I think that's the thing for, you know, small businesses, you know, you really, it's kind of sometimes can be feast or famine, and you really have to, you have to know that going into that, and you have to be, you have to be cool with that, and you have to factor that into the whole thing. So that's kind of boring business stuff. I'm sorry to have to.
No, but it's true. And you hear about so many businesses not making it.
Right.
Through tough economic times. So yeah, I'm always curious with a business like yours that's had so much longevity, you know, you must have to be really looking ahead at all times.
Yeah, you do. And I've always likened it to a bit of the turtle and the turtle in the race, is that I've always looked at this as very long term. Certainly when COVID happened, I was like, this thing is not taking me down. You know, I just turned 60 in November, and, you know, I plan on doing this for a very long time. I've been very lucky, you know, the last 10 years. It's not really I wouldn't even call it a semi-retirement, but we take a lot of time. We get to do a lot of really lovely kind of things. You know, we have our home in the Hudson Valley, and we spend a lot of time there. And so I don't really, I don't really see retiring for me. You know, we have lots of retiring, meaning like just not working at all. I mean, I think I'll probably have Watson Kennedy for a very, very long time. I have lots of books still left in me to write. You know, I've now written my daily blog for 13 years, and I can't imagine not doing that. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, we're lucky. We get to take, you know, 3 or 4 months a year off. But, you know, I'm still writing each day, and I'm still working on a book, and I'm still dealing with stuff at the store each day. So, you know, it's retail for me has been just really, I think when you have a small business, you know, try to make it work for the life that you want to have. And that very much was the case for us. And we just always knew that, you know, we were going to be building this home or having this home and this life in New York. And so, you know, we have just phenomenal staff. And it's, you know, so when I'm in that interview with somebody, you know, they know I'm not here all the time. And they just have to be really very cool with that. And but that also means that, you know, there's just a level of trust that I give to people that work for me. And, you know, a lot of times people don't necessarily get that in other, you know, in other retail environments or any type of work environment. And so for us, it's, you know, the people that work there just have just a huge amount of responsibility and kind of love for the store and love for all of it. And you know, they know that that's kind of how we've built the business. So.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. You've made it work for you as opposed to
exactly.
the other way around.
Yeah, and I think sometimes people think that there's, you know, one way to do it and that's the only way to do it. And it's not, you know, the you know, if you can... tweak things and make it your own, whether it's in retail or design or whatever it is in your life, you know, life goes by so quickly. So, you know, enjoy it all along the way.
Yeah. And on that note, obviously your partner, Ted, is super involved in all aspects of your business and your life. Where did the two of you meet?
We met, so again, I'd moved here for the job at the Seattle Tennis Club, and so I didn't really know all that many people in Seattle, and I met this this gentleman. His name is Willie, or Bill, Willie and Bill, and so he, I became friends with him, and not too long after we became friends, he said, oh, I need to meet this, my friend named Ted, and I was like, there's no way, I'm not dating somebody who has the same name that I do. And then he sent it to the other Ted and he said the same thing. And then several months later we met one another and then I'm like, yeah, I could date him. Aww. I could date a Ted. So we've now, I think we're going on 37 years. And you know, it's funny, the name thing doesn't, like when people say the name to us, you just always know who they're talking to in a sense. It's funny because when we're together, we don't really actually say each other's name all that often. Like we have a nickname for each other or whatever. I call Ted my love and he does often to me. And so anyway, it's been, I feel incredibly lucky to have an amazing a partner in life that you know, supports what I do. And I mean, Ted has always had his own work and he has his own, has his own consulting business. And so he does his own thing, but then he does a lot in Watson Kennedy as well. I mean, it's a family business. It's, I mean, anyone that's had a business, you know, that, you know, where it's small, you know, everyone in the family helps out because that's just how it rolls. So, and he does a lot and it's really fun. We've just recently, started, we changed our schedule. We used to be off on Sunday and Monday and now we're off on Friday and Saturday. So we actually leave the island on, Sunday morning and then the home store, the First Avenue store opens at noon. So he and I work the store together. He typically doesn't ever really, he works the store a little bit during Christmas time, but, so he does a lot of the back of house, like the accounting and all that stuff. So we have a new puppy, Hendrix. And so, he and Hendrix are at the back counter. And so if I need an extra hand, he's there to help or whatever, but he's doing bookkeeping and stuff and the puppy's back there. And then I'm up front and so it's been really fun. So, it's kind of a next chapter of our work.
And your homes, you're generous enough to share them a lot through your books and your social media. Does Ted have a design eye? Has he picked up some things from you?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I would say our aesthetic is, we're really lucky. I mean, there's really nothing in our homes that both of us haven't, like, okay. I mean, we would never have anything in, you know, there that like, oh, I really like it and he doesn't, then we wouldn't have it, or vice versa. So our aesthetic is really pretty similar. And I think it's grown and evolved over the years. Comfort, it plays just a huge, you know, in our homes, it's, you know, I think people will say, oh gosh, you know, that looks really pretty, but it's also, you know, meant to be very comfortable. So those sofas are meant to be laid on and to read a book and, you know, the dog gets to go on everything. And, so from a design aspect, I think we both have, we're very similar mindsets.
Yeah. And that's something I picked up on, the whole, you know, livability, but beautiful of, what I'm drawn to the store and your aesthetic and your books, I just feel like exudes luxury, but not in the way that I think I grew up thinking that luxury was.
Right.
Like very fancy. Yes. Don't touch these pieces of china, you know, white everything and getting, you know, kids spilling things on it or dogs spilling things on it. I feel like I love your aesthetic because it's so intentional and aesthetically pleasing, as somebody who doesn't know the right terminology.
No, you're totally getting it. Oh my gosh.
Yet, but it's still inviting and warm and cozy. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's, I grew up a little bit like what you were talking about. We definitely had rooms that, you know, you didn't necessarily, you know, you weren't in that room very often. We certainly didn't use certain, you know, like they're only for holidays, use certain things. And I mean, my mom kept a beautiful, beautiful home, and it was all, but kind of growing up, I was like, well, you know, I think I want my aesthetic to be more usable and more comfortable. And then, so yeah, it's really, you know, evolved over time, but it's, I mean, you use the word intentional. I mean, we're just very intentional about everything that we do, and always have been. And certainly from a design aspect, I mean, there really isn't, I mean, my feeling with design is that you shouldn't have anything in your home that you're not using, that you don't love, that you don't, you know, like we have open cupboards in all of our kitchens. And, you know, to me, it's like that way you get to see the stuff. And so it's nothing that, like, I, you know, if it's something that I don't think is really cool looking, then we don't have it. Because, you know, it's very easy to close that cupboard door and, you know, have something in there. You know, it's like, oh, I don't really like that, so I'm just going to put it that way. Then we don't have it. And we also live in fairly smaller spaces in all three of our homes. And that was also very intentional. You know, I think very early on, we were like, oh gosh, you know, do we want to live in, you know, one of those big, you know, North Capitol Hill homes? And we're like, oh, that sounds really interesting. It's interesting to us. And then we read an article, a New York Times article about this woman, and it resonated with us just unbelievably. And she lived in three different homes, small homes around the country. And for us, we were like, wow, that's really interesting. You know, that way we get to be part of three different communities, and we get to have three very different lives in where we're living. And so, you know, we always look at, you know, the places that we live as, you know, cumulatively, you know, it's all, you know, it's maybe like a bigger home, but our places are not, you know, large. And so, but we get to come out to the island almost every weekend. And, you know, we've been here for 25 plus years, and, you know, we get to be part of this amazing community here. And then we go to the Hudson Valley, and we get to have this just amazing life and friendships there. So we kind of planned that really early in our relationship, that that's how we wanted it to roll, and just worked really hard at kind of making that happen.
I love that. It's so cool. You're really paving your own way. I love it.
Totally.
And this can kind of segue into chatting a little bit about your latest book, but as anybody who follows you on social media, and I mean, even the sense from the store and certainly from your book, obviously entertaining and gathering your friends in your homes, like you said, they might not be big, but I think they're designed so that to host your friends and family.
Big time.
What has that always been a part of your personality, or is that something?
Oh,
that-
and both of ours. Oh my gosh. When we moved into, we live in this great building in Seattle, it's called the Gainsborough, and it's a beautiful, it's like a New York style building. And I think that's what we were both really drawn to. There's four units on each floor, and it has, you know, it's from 1929. And so in its tree line, so you really kind of feel like you're, you know, on the Upper West Side or something. And it's, we both loved that. And, I mean, we moved into that not too long after we met. And we basically at that point just had college furniture. Both of us had, you know, lots of our college furniture. And so we were like, nope, we're going to get rid of everything. And we're just going to buy piece by piece by piece and fill it up. So we moved in, and we had a bed. So we kept our bed, certainly. And then we bought a sofa first. And then we bought a cool lamp. And then we bought, you know, a fabulous rug. And so we just piece by piece. So we had lots of room then, because friends would come over and we would have huge parties. So really from day one, we've just always thrown really, you know, big parties, and we've always really loved that. And then just over the years, then dinner parties became much more of a, you know, throwing a big party is really fun. And when you're younger, it's, you know, so much more doable. You have so much more energy. And then we really just loved that we feel very fortunate. We have just an incredible circle of friends that we've known for, you know, since we both moved here. And that's grown over the years. And so, And certainly when you do what we do and have retail, you know, you end up meeting people from all over the country that are either customers or that are, people we buy from, and we become friends with them. So, you know, so for us, hosting in our home, I don't think there's really anything more gracious and personal than having somebody to your home for dinner. It's, I mean, there's just, you know, I love going to a restaurant, but it's just a different environment. You know, it's you're making the food, and you're setting the table, and they're in your home. And we've just, both of us just have really just always loved that tremendously. And, I think we got that a little bit, both of us, from our parents. I mean, both of our parents entertained, but maybe not in this quite in the same way that we do. And so that's really just evolved. And you know, from this latest book, you know, we have Friday night pizza, and we call it Friday night pizza martinis, and we've done that forever and ever and ever. And it, for us, it was just a really easy way to see friends, but not have to like cook a meal.
Yeah.
And we love, you know, we both love pizza, and I grew up in outside of Chicago, and you know, pizza is really big. And so, in the town I grew up in, there were tons of pizza places. So my family, we always had pizza once a week, and then we loved martinis. And so we just thought, how easy, people come over, you know, we put out, you know, some nibbles or whatever, have a martini, and then we order pizza, it comes in, and so we basically entertained, and we've had to do hardly any work. And so we've definitely come to all sorts of different ways of doing it. And then out on the island, again, I said, we just changed our schedule, so it's changing a little bit, but forever it was Sunday night suppers. So we would have friends come over from, either from on the island or from the city. And they'd arrive at 2 o'clock, and, you know, we would have really heavy apps, and we would either go for a beach walk, or, you know, our houses on the west side were on Colfax Passage on Robinwood Beach. And so our deck, you know, was right above the water, and, you know, we would just sit and chat and catch up, and then we'd start making dinner. And typically most of our entertaining is kind of late spring to late fall, because we move the dining table outside. So we sit al fresco almost as much as we possibly can. And so then we start making dinner, and we have a really, really lovely dinner, and then people have to rush and catch a ferry. And it's a really lovely, you know, so we've been with friends for like 6 hours, and, you know, really entertained and really had just a great time. And so for us, that entertaining at home, it's just key to kind of like who we are. It's
right.
Just, yeah, we've just always done it. So, yeah.
And I was going to ask you if you had any, you know, fun, entertaining tips to share with our listeners. But I think that's a great one right there. Almost like have a routine might be a heavy word. Right. But like have, you know, a plug-and-play style in mind.
Right.
Or, you know, food in mind.
Yeah, or create something. Absolutely. I mean, you know, if do what you are good at. So like if you're like an amazing baker, then make a phenomenal dessert. But like, let's say you're not, you know, like I don't consider myself a cook, you know, like if somebody said, I'm not, you know, I don't consider myself a good cook, you know, then go get a fabulous rotisserie chicken at the grocery store and, you know, roast some vegetables, and that's your dinner. And then you get to have this phenomenal dessert that you made. Or, you know, if you're really great at setting a table, you know, set a phenomenal table, and then, you know, maybe do it more as like a potluck and people bring things over. I mean, I think always how my mind works is, you know, do what you do well. So, and do what you really enjoy. And, I mean, because of the stores, I'm talking about, you know, design entertaining all day long with customers, and, you know, it just makes my heart hurt when somebody says like, oh no, I never have people over, I would never have somebody to my home, you know, like, and most times they're like, it makes me too nervous, like I'm just, you know, like a wreck thinking about that. And and I was like, you know, don't let it be, then just literally just have a really easy meal and don't let it stress you. And so so it's been really fun hearing stories of people that were not, you know, they didn't do it and now do it. It's been very fun.
Yes. And I think if that describes you, if you're interested in entertaining, but you don't feel confident about it, the Ted Kennedy Watson's Guide to Stylish Entertaining is definitely a book for you. I mean, obviously it has loads of tips to elevate for people who are already entertaining and do that regularly. But there's lots of encouragement, I guess, in the book for folks who are new.
Tips and encouragement, absolutely. And the thing that's interesting about this book is I signed the contract to write it in February of 2020. So it was, you know, one of those things where I didn't really think I was going to be writing an entertaining book during COVID when we literally couldn't entertain. But then it really became an interesting thought process, because then I was looking back at the different things that we had done. So, you know, each day when I'm writing it, you know, we're literally not seeing our friends or whatever. I wrote about, you know, we created stoop cocktails. So we'd have people over to in town, and, you know, they would sit on the stoop at, you know, however many feet that was we were supposed to be apart. And then I had made the drinks on, had it on a tray. So even then we were like looking for ways to entertain safely. But yeah, it was a good look back over our years of entertaining. So the book, I think, is I wanted it to be, excuse me, just incredibly personal, and that hopefully people could then create their own traditions from it.
Yeah. Love that. And writing, so between the daily blog, which blows my mind, even though I know sometimes they're short or like very picture heavy, still is the discipline of that. It's something to be admired for sure. And the book, I mean, that's a unique skill set. I think, I'm sure publishing a book, I don't even know how that would work, but, you know, just writing and expressing yourself in that way. Is that something that's always been part of your life? Like, were you great at writing as a kid?
I've always enjoyed writing. I think of writing more as like I'm having a conversation with someone. That's how I've always approached it. And I mean, like, I was the editor of my school newspaper. And so, I mean, I've definitely always, you know, writing has been, I've enjoyed it immensely. I've never, you know, I didn't really necessarily, you know, study it extensively in, you know, college or whatever, but I enjoy it a lot. And I think it's, I think each person has something to tell in life. And so for me, I think living life well is just really important. And again, that varies for each person. You know, what's well to you is different from, you know, what's well to me. But I like sharing that. I like, because I think some people don't necessarily see that they have this this beauty in their life, or this, you know, this uniqueness. And we all do. We just have to see it. And that's always been really incredibly important to me, that that people try to see that in their life. And I, luckily, it's just in my DNA. I think it's how I was raised. I had a really phenomenal father that gratitude was just an unbelievable aspect of his life. And so I was raised with that. And so I think, you know, we just all need to be very appreciative of the things that we have, whether you have a lot or you have a little. I just think we just have to be appreciative of it all. And so I think that's with the blog, and the, just really all of my life and business is that it's to make people see the beauty that they have in their day. That's just, and that's what the really the emphasis of the blog is.
I love that, and I think the blog definitely reflects that. You know, the little appreciating details and documenting the little things, taking a moment.
Absolutely,
I love that, and wanted to bring it back here home to Vashon Island, where we're sitting. You mentioned being so intentional, and you've got your three homes, and you wanted to be part of three communities. Why Vashon as one in the mix?
Well, let's see. Proximity was for sure, you know, was a huge part of it. You know, we had actually been looking on the Oregon coast, and we had some friends that lived down there. And so we thought that would be really interesting. We're like, well, gosh, you know, that's going to be a 5 or 6 hour drive. And then, you know, lots of people that live up in the San Juans, and, you know, that's a whole different commuting thing. And so for us, you know, having, you know, both owning our, having our own businesses, it just proximity of like, oh my gosh, you know, we want to go and we'll maybe even just spend one night. We'll come out to the island and just, you know, spend one night at our house. So Vashon just totally held that, I mean, that we could get to and from so quickly and easily. That was a huge part of it.
Mm.
And then we had some dear friends that lived here, and we would visit them, and they lived at the end of Sunset Beach. We're at the end of Robinwood Beach, and they're at the end of Sunset Beach, and we're, you know, very close. And the first time we came out and visited them, we just absolutely fell in love with the island. So we knew we had Vashon in our head anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the proximity. And then, and I just think it was the beauty. I mean, it's just, you know, you get on the ferry and you instantly start to, you know, your shoulders go down and the stress just kind of starts to melt away. And then you get on the island and, you know, we just think the island is just, it's just so beautiful. And it just has the vibe that we just have always, always loved. And then we found our house and we both fell instantly in love with our house. And, you know, like I said, it's small, but it's on a lovely piece of land. And it's very private. And that was, we definitely liked that. You know, we live in the city and we live in a very, you know, urban area. And so it's like, come to the island and really feel like you're completely somewhere else.
Mm.
And so that was, you know, we both fell in love with the house. So it was just, and then we knew what a strong community it was. And so, all those things were, you know, like, wow, Vashon is going to be our thing. And it's tenfold. It's even better than we ever thought it would be. So yeah,
I love that. And has Vashon inspired any aspects of your work?
I think the comfort, you know, how we've done the house here, you know, it's meant to be very comfortable. And as I said, that's really important in all aspects of design, but very much here, you know, we have French doors that open out onto the deck. And so, you know, 9 months out of the year, we have those all open. And so it's really mm-hmm. the house inside outside. And so that really, you know, the comfort of being out here, I think I would say more the comfort and just the laid backness a little bit. You know, as I said, we're on Clovis Passage and, you know, just hearing the water and being on the water is just, you know, seeing the water is just really magical and so good for the heart.
Yeah. And I did notice on the website, Pollard Coffee makes an appearance.
Pollard,
too.
Yes. Robin does the best coffee there is. Absolutely. So when Dig was, do you remember the fabulous story?
Yeah.
Dig was on the island. Sylvia and Ross were very good friends of ours. And so she introduced us to Robin. And just Robin's just a phenomenal human being. I adore her. And when, you know, she's like, oh gosh, I would love to do a coffee for you. And I love that when people, and you know, we sell that coffee all over the country, all over the world, where people come to Seattle, you know, they buy some of it. And then, so, you know, we ship it all the time to places all over. And I just love, you know, that it says Vashon Island. And, you know, then people really, you know, most people that, you know a little bit about us, you know, that our connection to out here. And I love having that in the store.
Well, Robin's a friend of the show. She came on a few years ago.
such a fabulous woman.
Yeah, it was a good conversation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Very
talented.
Cool.
Such a talented lady.
And so what is inspiring you these days? Like, do you have any projects you're working on?
I am working on a third book.
Oh, okay.
It's actually going to be a design book. So I'm really excited just to, you know, like that it's going to be about design. And then it's just going to be about the design of our homes. That,
ooh,
like, what are the tips that you can take away from, you know, all three, I think, are very different from one another. And again, that was quite intentional. And so, you know, we have this very kind of urban apartment. And then, you know, we have a kind of a beach home that's, you know, red, white, and blue. And then we have this old farmhouse in the Hudson Valley that's all greens. And so it's again, how you can make how you can make things your own, and just little tips and ideas about design. And I think it's going to be very fun, again, very personal. And so I'm working on that. You know, retail, certainly during COVID has, you know, changed a lot. You know, our website has become more and more, has become bigger and bigger. And so, you know, that's been lovely. And that's, you know, learning more about that. And I just think, and what I'm inspired by, I think and I'm certainly going to get choked up about it. I'm inspired by kindness. You know, we have so much not great stuff going on in the world. And I just think that if we can all just have some more kindness in our life, I think it's a really good thing. So that's what I'm most inspired by.
I love that. Well, you exude that. So thank you very much. And I think that's a lovely way to wrap up the conversation. And we do have a fun, more lighthearted lightning round of questions that we end every episode with. Yes. So every guest answers. Yeah, and so it kicks off by, you may have already kind of answered this, but do you have a favorite beverage on Vashon?
What favorite beverage? Let's see. We're big Negroni fans, so we serve. Okay. We love a Negroni, yes. And then, so on Vashon in the city, we do martinis, and they're Hendrix martinis. So our dog's name is Hendrix for the gin. But yeah, on the island, Negronis are winner for sure.
Are your go-to?
Yeah.
Excellent. And if you're not at home or work, where can people most often find you on the island? Do you have any favorite haunts?
Actually, it's funny. We part of it is, you know, we're at the house a lot because that's our place of rest, you know, from being busy in the city. So we, I mean, the Vashon Thriftway is, you know, we beeline to there. So we're really more so like getting a lot of the stuff and then going to the house. Oh my gosh, I'm going to totally space on Forest Garden Farm. It's a farm stand that when you are coming off the ferry and you're coming up the hill, it's one of the, I mean, and I'm terrible with directions, but it's not too far when you come up the hill off of the ferry. And it is a organic farm that does produce and flowers. And anyone that knows me knows flowers are a huge part of my life. And so Chris and her husband do just exceptional stuff. And so we've been going there. So we always stop there. And we typically have like a whole route of different organic farms that we go to farm stands on the way. And then we go grocery shopping. And then, oh my gosh, you know, we love the hardware store. We get takeout from the hardware store a lot of times when we're going back into town. And we just, a lot of times we just drive and just see how things have changed over the years. You know, there's all these different little pockets of, you know, community. And so it's, you tend to like just get into your own. And so there'll just be times that we'll just get in the car and we'll just drive and we won't really have any, and you know, thoughts of where we're going to go. So yeah, those are some of my favorites.
I like that. I had never just driven aimlessly on Vashon until I had a colicky infant and she would chill out in the car. So I had never been to Gold Beach. And so I was just like, probably people were wondering what I was doing, you know, circling the neighborhood a few times. But yeah.
So it's just super fun just to drive, just to drive around. And like I said, really in the time that we've been here, then, you know, the number of organic farms and the farm stands is just off the charts. There's so many more. And, you know, there's just such a magical quality to that. You know, it's like, you know, when you realize how hard everyone's working to create that, and to just be able to go in and, you know, see it all there and then pick up some things. And, you know, I love that. And so, you know, in our entertaining, we try to really serve as much stuff from the island as possible. And,
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I feel like you don't have to dig too deep on Vashon to access the community, like the community aspect
just everywhere. Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. And do you have any pet peeves about island living? Any downsides here compared to your other places?
Pet peeve on the island, gosh. Well, I mean, it's not really about the island, but, you know, the ferry system has just been so affected. And I know it's just, you know, hopefully it's a glitch and will be resolved, but I don't think it will be for quite some time. And so, you know, it's not a pet peeve. It's just the way it is. And, you know, we have to all accept that. But, you know, it used to be like, oh my gosh, we're going to catch the 1010 ferry and the 1010 ferry would be there. And it's not. And so it's definitely changed how we, you know, now we always look at the ferry schedule, but just because we think we're going to get that ferry. But I mean, again, it's not really a pet peeve. I don't really have a pet peeve about the island. I think it's pretty spectacular, you know, fabulous people and amazing food and great. I don't have one. Sorry.
that's an That's an A-okay answer. Do you have a favorite Vashon Island tradition? Any of the events or...
Well, our, let's see, 4th of July is definitely a tradition for us. You know, we're always here, and we always, all along Colville's Passage, there's all these communities, whether it's on this side, but primarily over on the other side that we're looking out, they'll do fireworks, and they're just phenomenal. So we... A lot of times we'll have guests, you know, we'll have a dinner and you know, people stay in, watch fireworks. Or this year, because we had a new puppy, you know, we were curious about how he was going to handle the fireworks.
Yeah.
And but it's lovely. You know, we make a really, you know, yummy dinner and then we just sit and watch the fireworks. And, you know, half the time I'm super tired. So at the end, and I'll go in and our bedroom has windows that look out to the water and like I'll just watch the fireworks and fall asleep. And so, yeah, that's probably our biggest tradition is the fireworks during the 4th.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like you don't fully know Vashon unless you've been here on the 4th of July.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And there's just so, I mean, you know, so many people come here and it's just, you know, it's
very
it's a very festive island on the 4th of July. Yeah, definitely.
And last question, where can people find you to learn more about you or your work? Obviously the stores, the website.
So both the shops in downtown Seattle, our website is just watsonkennedy.com. We ship anywhere. And the website just grows and grows. We have, you know, close to 5,000 items on it. So, you know, if you, you want to entertain, redo some stuff for your home, definitely check out the website. You know, my books can be bought. You know, it's like you said, there's a lot of places on the island that are selling it, and you can find it in lots of different places. My daily blog is just my name. It's just tedkennedywatson.com. You can either sign up for it and get it delivered to your mailbox at 3 o'clock every day. And so, you know, we've had readers that have followed along for the 13 years that have read it, you know, every day. And it just, you know, it comes into their mailbox, or, you know, you can just go to the website and, you know, look at it. And, you know, there's the whole history. You can just go back and talk about a book. You know, it's like a very, very large book of ideas and tips and things, because there's that whole history that you can go back and look at it. So, you know, I do a lot of recipes. And so, you know, if you just Google my name and Google whatever recipe that you know you're looking for, then the recipe will come up, you know, on Google, and you hit it. And, you know, and so, you know, all that back 13 years of back history is part of something that you can access. So lots of different ways. That's cool. Always come see us at the store. I love, and if you live on the island, please tell me you live on the island, because I love that. I love that connection. You know, when people come in and they're like, oh my gosh, I live on Vashon. So, I work the store a lot. So, if we're in town, I'm typically at the store.
Excellent. Yeah. And Ted is definitely one of my favorite Instagram follows. If you are on social media.
Yeah, social, very good. Thank you for mentioning that. So, you know, and it's just, again, Watson Kennedy on Instagram, and I love Instagram, and we've really, I think from very early Instagram, I mean, I've done it for, you know, really almost kind of since it started.
Yeah.
And because some design friends told me about it, and they're like, I think that you would really kind of dig this, because it very much is how your brain thinks, and it's very visual and blah blah blah. And so Instagram for me is again very meant to be very positive, and lots of tips, and it's just a fun visual treat. And I love Instagram.
Yes, excellent. Well, thank you. And this has been such a treat for me.
Gosh,
so thank you for coming in.
So lovely to meet you, and thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely.
And thank you all for listening. Again, this is Inspired Island on Voice of Vashon, KVSH LP Vashon. Until next time, stay inspired.